You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So we are on our lesson study, quarter four, lesson four, sharing God's mission. That is what we are talking about. And my elder, Elder Walter Dagabakure, is joining us on the line to take us through the lesson. On Monday, we spoke about the Sabbath School introduction there, the gift of hospitality, as well as Abraham's love for everyone, right? So today we're going to be touching on, Abraham's spirit of prayer and so forth and so on. My elder, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am good, my elder. I hope that you are packed nice day. You're not in the middle of the road.
No. Fine. I put into some place, so I think we can have our program, yes.
Indeed. Before we start, my pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Sure. Heavenly Father, what about we thank you this morning. We want to thank you for the privilege of that you've given us to speak to children about your word. We invite your presence that may you lead us today. May you give us a lesson in season. We pray that may your spirit fill us and may you help us to be transformed and to be a people that are ready for your soon coming. For you ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. My elder, you may take us through Abraham's spirit of prayer.
Yes, thank you so much. I think on Monday we left it without doing Abraham's love for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think let's start there and then we do Abraham's spirit of prayer. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, all right. So I think on Monday we have Abraham's love for everybody. There's something that is quite interesting that I noticed when we on that is that you remember Abraham was living in a country that in an environment where people were so sinful. He was living around the Canaanites. Mm-hmm. And these are people that would commit all forms of idolatry. Someone actually said, remember, he actually said, I will not go and dwell in the cities. He mm-hmm. chose to stay in the tent. So his choice of dwelling actually signified the state and the true state of what was around him. But remember, even being around these people, these are the people that he was trying to plead in Genesis chapter 18, in Genesis chapter 19. He was pleading with God to spare these people that were wicked.
Mm-hmm.
But many times we love those who are lovable.
Mm-hmm.
But when the love of God is within you, it is the love that loves the unlovable. So the true test of love and its true origin comes from how the love is portrayed. Remember, our key text this week is love one another as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. The new law I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So this love that Christ has loved is a love that loves the unlovable.
Mm.
You know, and Abraham was exhibiting this love to say, these are sinful people, but he's busy pleading for them to say, Lord, can you save them? So my thinking is, many times we love those who love who are lovable, those who are Christians. So, yes, but the code is that we are getting, and the example of Abraham is showing that we need to love those who are what, even unlovable, like the Canaanites that we're saying around Abraham. I found that very, very profound. To say we need to have a love that can love the unlovable. Just like what Abraham. Yeah.
Mm. And as you're saying that when we love those unlovable, it's because we know that it's easy for them to love, but then the others, we feel like it's not easy. And sometimes we read the situation wrong, because the person that you think that is unlovable, you find that they are in fact more lovable than the ones that you think are lovable. Mm.
Yes. Besides, you know what? It's easy to love what we have for your friends. And what you have for your family, it's not the perfect test of love. Why? Mm-hmm. Because from your family and your friends, if I do good and if I love my friends, I do good to them, most certainly I'm going to receive something from them. So a love that gives and expects to receive something in return is not perfect love.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect love is when you give and do not expect to return, just like what Christ did. Remember, I love the tiki text I always refer to. It says, Jesus said, as I love one another, as I have loved you. So the example of love is the one, the template of love that we're supposed to exhibit is one that Christ has presented to us and one Christ that Christ has shown us. And in that love, if expecting not to receive anything. Actually, at some point, Ellen White says, Christ was willing to go to the cross even if one person was going to be saved. So my thinking is that love that gives without expecting to get back is the love that Abraham had.
Okay.
So I think perfect template of love. And when you love like that, the origin of it, it comes from the Spirit of God being in your heart.
I know. Yes. You may continue there.
So on Tuesday we have Abraham's spirit of prayer. You know when you hear about prayer. Prayer is people think it's something that we do occasionally.
Yes.
When we need to pray to talk to God, that's prayer. But prayer. I love how the quarterly writers write that you say the spirit of prayer. You know when the Bible says pray without ceasing.
Yes.
It's not saying kneel like 24/7, 365 days a year. It's not saying that. It's saying you need to abide in a spirit of prayer. You need to abide in the spirit of communicating with God. And then Abraham is saying. And when you abide in the spirit, you know, sometimes you ask yourself, what do I pray for? When you're in the spirit of prayer, there's much to talk to God about. So Abraham's spirit was one where you could speak to God on behalf of everybody that was around him.
Yeah.
So he maintained a continual, and then I say, praying without ceasing is maintaining an unbroken and continual connection with heaven. So it's an unbroken and continual connection with heaven. So in Abraham now, he maintained this connection not because he was doing it for himself, but he did it. He maintained this connection for those who are around him. Then it gives perspective now to say, it's possible to maintain that continual connection because you'll be interceding for those who are around you as well. So, you know what? It comes from the character that Abraham has.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a character, when love fills your heart, you are always looking for the good of those who are around you. And where do you get the good? You get it from your Heavenly Father. And you're actually getting from God. So you always need to be constantly connected from where the good is coming, and you always seek for those who are around you. So it comes from the spirit. Abraham's spirit of prayer was one that is driven by the love of those who are around him.
And as so you,
yeah, please go on.
No, I was saying that as I was also going through the study, and as much as the focus, you know, is on Abraham and also the mission, right? The last part of Thursday, sort of Tuesday, it's saying that our mission cannot be successful without prayer, intercessory prayers. After meeting someone, after giving a sermon or a Bible study, we must pray for the people we have been in contact with, because most of the time there's this saying that I'll pray for you, it just ends there. You know, I'll pray for you and they, you know, we don't do that. But I'm loving how the lesson is reminding us that pray for that person, because you don't know the next three steps they're taking away from you, what is going through their mind.
Do you know why it ends as words? Do you know words don't come from a place of love? Only it do. We don't pray for our friends, we don't pray for our families, we don't pray for those who hate us because we don't love them. Love them as Abraham did, we pray for them. So what? It's unfortunate that we live in a situation where we have more of everything except love. We have more money than love. We have more of everything except love. The only thing that we have in minimum amount is love for each other. That's the reason why we see even the true state of the church. When you see a brother falling, when you see a sister falling, we are more quick to talk about them in public as if it's a win than to pray for them. So I think that what we are lacking is sharing the same character with the one who's the owner of the thing, which is God. When you share of the same character with God, remember God is love.
Yeah.
His very character is love. So when you share the same character like God, who's the owner of the mission, who's the patron of the mission, when we are of the same character with Him, we will love one another. We will treat each other in how God will treat us. We don't do that because we don't share the same character with God. Yet we, the same character, if we participated in His character, we would also have the same treatment to our fellow brothers and sisters.
Indeed. I'm seeing here, it is saying Abraham's mission. Hey, the last one, lesson 3, was saying it's not our mission, it's God's mission. But this one is saying Abraham's mission. So let us take us through Abraham's mission.
So I think Abraham's mission, I think we remember, I actually posted something. It reminded me what I posted on social media this past week. I posted a thought that came into my mind to say, God did not create us to burn us. You get the point? There are people who think that God created humanity to burn them later. But no. God has never created us to burn us. So God created us to God created us to live an everlasting life. Ideally, that's the principle. That's why God created us. But now there was a dent to that plan, and in that dent to that plan, God has presented Christ. And when Christ came on this earth, He presented the love of God to humanity. And as He presented the love of God to humanity, He left a people that are meant to continue in the work of showing the world the true and correct character of Christ. The reason why the world is in turmoil is because people have a misapprehension of God's character. So now, the Abraham's mission was one of showing the world the true character of God. As you can be seen, I think when I was reading this, if you read Genesis chapter 19, you see, it's interesting that you see Lot sitting at the gate of Sodom. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. You remember? Does it remind you of what of Abraham in chapter 18 when he was sitting at the entrance of the tent in the heat of the sun? Do you remember that? So it means when Lot left the gate of Abraham, when he left and he chose the plains of Sodom, when he left, he had been educated in the character of God by Abraham. So he and Abraham had similarities in character. So Abraham taught Lot, and Lot was presenting and projecting the same character that Abraham had. And which character did Abraham have? He was projecting the same character of God that Abraham had. So in other words, it's the Abraham's mission was one of showing the world and those around him the true character of God. It's amazing when, I think we're going to see it, it's amazing when, remember when the kings of Sodom when Sodom was captured and Abraham and Esau went after them and chased them. Remember, Abraham refused even a shoeless from the kings of Sodom. He was of such a character to actually clearly and portray and represent the character of God perfectly to those who are around him. So many of us now, I love how the fertile writer says there's no number of residents of Sodom who will serve the implications of our mission. Not everyone will be saved, right? Not everyone will be saved. But we would like everyone to accept Jesus and this plan of salvation. But everyone is free. Art is to invite as many people as possible to make the choice for Jesus. Yes. So in other words, our task is to present the love of Christ, the character of Christ. And when the character of Christ, I love how he puts it in the New Testament. He says, when I am lifted, my character is lifted up. When my character of love has been lifted up, it will attract many unto you, unto itself. So our duty is to present love of Christ, the true character of God, and people will be attracted by their character and they will choose Christ.
And with this one, my elder there, I'm also looking at how the writer of the quartel of the lesson there actually also focused on Lot. You know, there is a part where he says here, whatever his faults, Lot had some good characteristics, it seems, you know, because when you're reading about his life, like, this one, but now as they're bringing his character out, you can see that he had some good things there. And for me, when now I take it and I bring it towards the last part, which we're speaking about, us inviting people, meaning that it doesn't matter. All of us, we have a good side to it. So invite someone to Christ. Don't say that, no, I'm not going to invite, you know, Elder Walter, because no, that's not for us. Invite them because they also have a good character. Sometimes we just need to unearth some of these characters that are buried.
Yeah. It's funny. We had a conversation during lunch last night about the church. When we're talking about, I was explaining to my fellow men, he said the problem is we have created a scenario where sinners are not acceptable within us. So someone actually, I presented a case where I met one young lady. She made mistakes in life, and she asked me, "Elder, why do I need to come to church?" That was the question. I went on and on and saying, "You need to be in the company of believers. You support each other." Then he said, "But I'm not getting the support in church.
Hey,
so why am I supposed to come to church?" You know, I end up only saying, you know what, I can't tell you that you are right, but we need to pray about it. But my point, she had a point. Do you get my point? We have moved because we don't have the love for souls that Jesus had. If we share the same love that Jesus has, it will be easy to draw people to Christ. Why? Because we'll do less preaching and more practical work and more practical love. We need to show more practical love, like what Lot and Abraham did. Abraham showed practical love. I've never heard him preaching. I've never seen a text in the Bible where Abraham preached a sermon, but he had 1,000 souls that were born in his house. He had 1,007 the Adventists in his house. But he never preached a sermon. Do you get my point?
Yeah.
My thinking is, we need to actually sit down and actually ask ourselves, we have done everything else except show the true character of one whom we represent. Someone says, Mahatma Gandhi once said, I love the God of the Christians, but I will never be a Christian until they show me one who's like their God. So I think we need to now move more from sermonizing and doing all that to practical Christian, practical religion, which is showing the world love, which is the character of God.
I think that's why we are being taught good to be the sermon. No Bible, no scripture, but you yourself, be the sermon.
Yes. We want to call people to a transforming God who has not yet transformed us. So the world will ask us, why am I going to something that has failed to transform you? I'm better off where I am. If you are saying there's power in the word, let it transform you. Then I see you, and then I believe. Everything else that you say is just words. But if the word that you believe cannot allow you to give me bread when I'm hungry, then the world word is failing to transform me. So we need to show the world practical Christianity and practical love. This is how we can participate in God's mission. God's mission is to show the world his correct character.
Mm-hmm.
And as we participate in this work of showing the world his correct character, then we are going to be more effective missionaries.
My elder, we're going to wrap it there today so that on Friday we do Thursday submission to God's will, as well as the thoughts that are coming through for Friday. But today we're going to end it there. Thank you so much for speaking to us there. I think your last words there. We can't call people, though, to, not that we can't, but we shouldn't call people to a God that transforms, yet us, we have not been transformed, because you want that one, I'm going to make it a promo. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Thank you so much. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful lessons that we have been in presence to continue with us. As we go through today, Lord, may you lead us, protect us, and guide us. May you be with us as we continue the lesson on Friday. May you speak to us, give us new thoughts. May you be here. We thank you because you are God who hears us. In Jesus, pray.
Amen and amen. Elder Walter, thank you so much. May you have a blessed day and drive safely.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.